The Bills organization had a message for Bills Mafia after the Tampa Bay game. Here it is.
Question. Would you die for me?
Yes.
That's too easy. Will you... would you live for me?
Yes.
Careful. Do not say this oath thoughtlessly. Desire becomes surrender. Surrender becomes power. You want this?
I do.
Say it. Say it. Say it. Pretty, 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 pretty.
Please.
I got what I came for.
Hey, what's going on, Table Breakers? Welcome to another episode of 7-1 Blitz. Sorry, guys, I was a little late today. I got pulled over for speeding. And then I told the cop, I'm like, hey, that other guy was going way faster than me.
What the fuck?
You already know where I'm going with this, don't you?
No.
No?
No.
Yeah, and the cop was like, yeah, that guy's got 7 Super Bowls. Fuck you.
Oh, man. Really?
I had to do it.
God.
Hey, you at least came up with that on the spot, or did you think about it last night?
I thought about it right before you hit record.
Okay.
Really?
Honest to God.
I don't think about anything.
I think since he said it, you have to take his word for it. That's how the internet works. Yeah. So.
Exactly. But anyway, that aside, it's been a crazy 2 weeks since the last time we spoke. Not the best day in Buffalo sports today, but we're here to talk about it.
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, I don't know.
It is what it is. I don't know. Fuck it.
It's been a pretty rough 2 weeks.
And
there's a lot of questions right now, a lot of disappointment. But there's one thing that we are definitely sure of, though, right, guys?
Yeah, what's that?
That Josh...
Tyler Bass only wears one eye black on his face?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Okay, we're good. See you. No, but I just... until there's competent reasoning, Josh Allen is the real deal. No matter... I know we've been saying about this all year, but through those two losses, who was the main guy that brought them from the shits of the bottom and almost climbed them to the top?
Well, with New England, there was no quarterback has any business throwing into that wind, and he did.
And then
in Tampa, no one had the business of competing against that mismatch of a team with Tampa in that second half, and he did on a sprained foot or whatever he's got.
Yeah.
And so
that's going to be a question to look into going into next week.
He's playing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like,
he was spotted out today.
No, like he was... like he was limping at the end of that game, and he was still making all the throws. Like, I think if the injury is mild, he's still going to be out there.
Well, you heard Mitch Morse say he was calling designed runs still.
Yeah, he was still calling for runs. He still wanted the ball. So I will go to war for Josh Allen, and I haven't played football competitively in 15 years. No, longer than that. Fuck, I'm old. Fuck.
But yeah, I mean, we've had this discussion for a while where it's either, you know, last year, with how great the season when everyone's, oh, I love Josh Allen, but then you have, as soon as something goes wrong, well, you should have drafted this guy, well, you should bench him, if he ever gets flustered, yeah, you should bench him, do that. Everyone's always, the first thing they want to look at is the quarterback, and I get that's the most important position. We say this a lot, we talk about this a lot, but there's just so much going on right now with that team that is not about the quarterback play, that you really just, I'm sorry, but if all you look at is quarterback play and you think if the team's losing, you have to change the quarterback or quarterback's not doing enough, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say to you if you've seen either of those two performances. I know they lost. But if you think benching him for Trubisky or trying to get someone else fixes what's going on without fixing anything else on the team, you got issues.
Don't you think it's crazy, too, that people call for a change at quarterback if he's struggling in the first half or whatever? Like, when's the last time you heard the Packers fans saying that switch Aaron Rodgers, or Tampa fans say take out Tom Brady, or
Chiefs
taking out Mahomes, or Baltimore taking out Lamar? Like, why are we the only fan base that calls for the quarterback's head after a first?
Because we're not used to success.
At its worst, the Bills fans can be very toxic. And am I wrong on that?
No, because we're one of the most toxic.
Because it's either we're winning the Super Bowl, and if you say otherwise, I'm going to punch you in the face, or, oh my God, fire everybody because we're not 17-0 and winning every game by 45 points.
Yeah,
it's just like the mood swings are just unbelievable. When the highs are high, they're high. But when the lows are low, they are low. And it's just...
Legitimately, I don't know when I've ever heard of one of those teams with like an elite quarterback ever get questioned. Like, oh, take him out of half. That's seriously never happened.
Yeah, and we, DJ, I mean, we did the halftime show, and like, we called the game dead in the water. And that we, well, again, we didn't we didn't blame Josh for it in our defense, but we did take the team out of this game.
Yeah.
And
I think everyone did. No one had them coming back.
It's thanks to him that they, I mean, yes, Tampa did not score. If Tampa keeps scoring, then what Josh does is irrelevant. But, I mean, the man, like, they had zero rush yards by any other player besides Josh in the first half. And then, I mean, you had Breida with three attempts for 12 yards, and one of them was 11 yards, so there you go. And then you had Singletary, who had 52 yards on four carries. One of them was 29, but that's just because Tampa's completely disregarding the run, because they're like, sure, rip off a run once in a while. You're not going to do it twice.
Yeah.
They complete disregard and disrespect for the run game, because they know they can. They know they just have to contain one dude.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
How much of a factor, because, like, with the rushing attempts coming in the second half, how much do you think that was maybe a factor into maybe switching things up? But were there other factors that we can think of here? Because it seemed, because I look back at all the second half plays, and it seemed like that the pressure really wasn't there. Like, the offensive line was actually did a pretty good job when it came to protecting Allen, especially in those key drives, which led them getting to the victory. So what do you think was, like, a certain halftime adjustment that pretty much created that those circumstances?
Brian Daboll said, we're giving the ball to Josh Allen every time.
I mean, I also think a defense, like, you can't get a sack every play. Yeah. Like, they probably got a little winded.
Yep.
I mean, even bad old lines should protect at least half of the time. So, but I would say the offensive line needs a complete revamp at some point.
Absolutely.
At least the interior part of it.
The interior. I think we're okay with Brown and Dawkins.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I think Morse
could be. I could see Morse staying one more year.
I think he can stick around.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't have a problem.
I mainly mean the guard play, because you saw Devin White and company come from that interior and just blow by people. Oh, that one play where he just ran by the guard and Breida.
Well, I mean, putting Breida in pass protection, that's a.
I'm not saying that's a good idea
that's
either.
That's a bold strategy.
But the fact that he got by the guard first and then to Breida that fast.
Yeah, no. The interior line, on both sides of the ball, the interior line is not very good.
No.
Like they have too many young guys that they don't like. You know, what is, like, the deal with Harrison Phillips, though? Because it seems
he's
like...
He's playing great.
Yeah, now he's playing really good now, but now it's just, like, he's just been so inconsistent.
He's been good the last three, four games now. I mean, Star won't be here next year, so...
Oh, no.
Well, Harrison, it's his last year.
Yeah, he'll be here.
They'll re-sign him?
No, they'll keep him. He'll be cheap. They'll re-sign him.
Yeah, fair.
They'll keep him. He's done a good job this year to stick around. At least for a little bit. Yeah. You know, another one-year deal, maybe a two-year, I don't know. He's not going to get a crazy deal, but he'll stick. I think
it's going to be crazy who like Harrison Phillips or maybe they do bring another guy for competition. Like, you really don't, like.
Yeah.
They pretty much look at everything, and it's like they want to be able to develop. Like, if I'm Brandon Bean, I want to make sure that there's enough guys to compete at every position, even at defensive tackle too.
I mean, that's true. I mean, yeah.
But yeah, Doug, to answer your previous question, I think it was a combination of Tampa's defense was probably a little winded. They probably wanted to play prevent at that point. They probably thought they had the game wrapped up, and they probably just didn't want to put themselves in a position where if they send pressure and they didn't want the Bills to hit a home run. They wanted, if they were going to score, they wanted the Bills to have long drives, probably. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think they thought they were on cruise control. There was no way the Bills were going to do what they did.
They also were probably under the assumption that Tampa offense would at least put up some points, so it wouldn't matter.
But here's one last thing that really did decide that last PI call. The last...
I mean, I don't know really what to say about that because...
There was four. Questionable.
Well, yeah, but nothing we say is going to...
No.
I mean, it, refereeing, like, usually, I don't know what else to...
I mean, you shouldn't even have been in that position if you want the honest opinion.
I'm not the person to say that... Where, like, if the ref's going up, I mean, if you lose, you lose. That's what I like to say. But honestly, that I really think that call really does change a lot because if there's force and goal, then you have to, with the momentum that they were going to score, that means that, how many timeouts did Tampa Bay have at that?
One.
Yeah, maybe one.
Yeah, I think, one. Like, okay, 20 seconds and you need a drive all the way. If they score, they
Oh, no, I'm not denying that, but I just...
Like, that was, like, the only...
I can't dwell on it because I can't change it.
Well, the thing you can change would be playing for the first 30 minutes. They didn't play for the first 30 minutes.
That's true.
Yeah.
You can't...
I agree with that.
I'm not going to sit here and bitch and piss and moan. I mean, it pissed me off, but at the end of the day... Play a whole 60 minutes and you don't put yourself in that position to worry about those calls. And Josh, on that play, the play call was a fade. Why the fuck would it have been a fade? You're playing for the penalty. Like, that's a play call to try to get the penalty. So on that play, on that third down, you're not doing a fade. You're doing your best play. You can't tell me that fade was the best play. The play should have been Diggs get the fuck open. I'll throw the ball. And they threw a fade, trying to get a penalty.
I mean,
refs didn't call it.
In a situation where you have to depend on the flag, that should never.
They do that a lot, though. It's extremely frustrating. They do it a lot. I mean, they have reason to because
it has a big success rate in the NFL. Well, to be honest,
unless you're the Bills.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only been called what, 5 times in the last since week 6. They've only called 5 defensive holding or pass interference penalties against the opposing team of the Bills. 5 since week 6.
And that includes the zero that Tom that
yeah
flawless
game.
Zero
flawless game,
like, that's okay.
Well, they did the same thing happened to Tampa in the NFC Championship last year.
Yeah.
Yep, because they were like holding on and just there was a lot of like they were just like letting the guys play, yeah. But
it's, and then one of the final plays of that game, third down, Brady throws incomplete pass. Late flag on Kevin King.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. I'm not gonna, we can't.
We can't dwell on it.
All Bills Mafia wants us to piss and moan like we're WGR.
Well, I don't.
Like, we're not. Like, you can't blame the
Well, record. What am I gonna? What good is it if the three of us just agree with each other about how pissed off we are, and then everyone listening is going, yeah, like, sorry, like,
no, they should have played. They should have played football in the first half, and they wouldn't have had to put themselves in those positions.
And you did get the ball. You did get the ball first in overtime,
and they went 3 and out
because of shitty play calling.
Not Dable.
All right, let's talk about
the coach. Yeah, let's talk about the coach, guys.
It's McDermott.
Do we have a head coaching problem, DJ?
I think we do. I don't know if it's a problem, like, let's get rid of this guy, like everyone thinks. But I do think there is a disconnect between him and Dable. I think McDermott wants to call a balanced game. He wants to pound the ground, and he wants to set up the pass where – with Josh Allen in this offense, it's you pass to set up the run. It's the opposite of most teams in the league. And I think Dable wants to wing it and sling it every time. And he's like, well, if it works, it works. I really don't think Dable's the one calling this conservative play calling. I don't think it's – maybe he is. Maybe I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. But I really do think it's McDermott trying to almost overcoach or overthink.
You can make a case that, like, half – like, you know, all of the flaws that they've gone through so far is, like, overthinking on the coaching side. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, they've just been
trying to do too much, trying to do cute, then it leads to the other coach taking advantage of those problems.
Well, in my opinion, DJ, to what you just said, if Dable does want to be more aggressive and McDermott's idea of how often should be is right, but he didn't get the right personnel to do that. And I think Dable knows that, but McDermott doesn't want to admit that.
Yeah, because I mean...
If that's the case.
Yeah, and you look at the New England game where we were trying to reestablish the run and the weather, but then in the fourth quarter, Josh starts throwing, and it's like, well, wait a second. If he could throw, why wasn't he throwing the whole game? And I think that's like where Dable probably yells down to the McDermott's headset, yo, I'm fucking calling the plays now.
Well, do you think it was, oh, well, New England's doing it, so we should be doing it too?
Maybe. I mean, I think they were just trying to control the clock and get the fuck out of there and scrape out a W, but...
Wait, if there is a true disconnect between the head coach and the offensive coordinator, Do you think that like creates like the higher percentage chance of happening of Daboll possibly leaving the Bills for a head coach position, no. Or do you think he sticks around for another year?
No, I think he. I think this is not. This is not.
Well, I mean, if he gets an offer, he's taking it.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm him, the only job I'm probably taking is Jacksonville if it becomes available.
Yeah,
or the Bears.
Yeah. Stay away from the fucking Bears. Let Leslie Frazier go to Chicago. I don't know. I just don't think that this is a problem that's like, this is not like something that's going to break apart the team.
No.
I do think there is a difference in philosophies all of a sudden.
Is there an ego problem?
Maybe.
I think so.
Maybe.
I think so.
I mean, this isn't a player thing. This isn't like...
Like, we said it last year where, well, we said it early in the year where it seemed like they really built that draft just to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
That's really what it seemed. And now, like... The Bills really only thought that the Chiefs were the only in their competition, but then they realized that there was the other half of the league they had to play.
I mean, yeah, and before the draft and after the draft and with our pregame, we talked about our concerns and how they didn't get better at certain positions that were, in our opinions, glaring weaknesses, and you're seeing that now. That whole, well, they're my guys, so I got to stick with them philosophy, but
and now
at the same time, you take McKenzie off off returns because of one fumble, and he's a top five returner. You're trying to make an example out of him, but you can't admit that Singletary is not a great running back. You can't admit that Corey Ford is not a great guard just because you drafted them. Like, that can't be the case because you drafted them. Like,
I mean, they've hit
pretty something
good.
To look at.
Well, they've hit pretty good. Like,
they have.
Let's be honest. They hit the quarterback, and that's honestly the most. They could hit zero of the other picks if they hit the quarterback. And, you know, like, they didn't hit those other. If they miss on every other pick, it's okay.
How I understand McDermott is that, like, when you pick a player, you want that player to develop. You want him to become the player they want him to be, and that's why there's players like Cody Ford who really were in that developing mentality. But if you're a GM, like, you should just be able to, like, hey, this position, whoever plays best gets it. That's the way it should be.
I do have a thought, too, on Josh Allen with the developing and stuff you're talking about. Like, do Daboll and McDermott get too much credit for developing Josh Allen? Do we not give enough credit to Jordan Palmer, who he works out
with? That's
a great question.
That is actually a fantastic question.
Like, Jordan Palmer works with him
all
summer. That's all he does. I mean, he works out with Jordan Palmer and other younger quarterbacks, and, like, it's not talked about enough. It's like, yeah, Daboll developed him.
Well, I mean,
did he?
Well, McDermott, as far as like an overall coaching, as you know, like just mental stuff, like and just how to carry yourself. But I mean, he's not an offensive coach, so like those tangibles for a quarterback. I mean, obviously, didn't come from him. Even though you know, he's probably since he got drafted, McDermott's probably mentoring him. You know, and
yeah,
just certain things he says to him that I'm sure are great coaching lessons.
Like the mental.
But, yeah, but as far as actual quarterback play, yeah, it has to be you have to look at Jordan Palmer and Dorsey and Daboll. So, out of those three, you could say Jordan Palmer. Yeah, I mean,
it's no one talks about it. I really don't hear it ever being talked about.
I mean, the raw talent is all Josh, but then, you know, decision-making and posture.
But he was like an atomic bomb. You, like, have to harness that energy.
You do.
And, like, someone figured it out, whether it was Jordan Palmer, whether it was Daboll, whether it was McDermott, whether it was Dorsey. Someone figured out how to harness this thing because, like, I'm going to say that I've never seen an athletically gifted quarterback like this in the league ever. I'm 36 years old. I've never seen a quarterback like this.
No, usually when someone's this athletic, their arm talent is just not there.
This guy's got everything.
They phase out quickly because like the dual threat always seems to run out at a certain point. But
yeah,
at some point, Allen won't need to depend on that because obviously getting older. But
and what's crazy about the game we just witnessed, like one of the best performances I've ever seen a quarterback make on any team ever, and I don't think he's at his ceiling. Like, we still haven't seen this dude's ceiling.
No, I mean,
he played like that, and it's not a ceiling.
I mean, look at his comparisons. I mean, we're talking, like, as far as physical comparisons, we're talking, what, Cam Newton and Tim Tebow? Like, and it's not, as far as throwing, it's not even close to those guys. But that physically, that's the only people you could compare him to, because.
Yeah, I mean, I think of guys like, so I'm a little older. I think of, like, he reminds me of, like, a Cordell Stewart.
Okay.
A younger Big Ben.
Steve Young, maybe?
Maybe a little Steve Young.
Brett Favre.
Yeah, those guys were... I think he's a little bit more athletic than these guys.
But a lot of those guys, either whether they're more on the athletic side, he's way better of a thrower, and if they're more on the throwing side, he's way more of an athlete. So yeah. It's...
And we don't see a lot of quarterbacks like him. Quarterbacks like him excel really well in college, and that never translates to the NFL. Like, I mean, Tim Tebow was the best quarterback ever to play. There was Cordell Stewart when I mentioned when he played, he was like the best quarterback ever in college. I mean, those guys don't ever translate.
Robert Griffin III.
Yeah, RG3. I mean, he didn't get injury. If he didn't have injuries,
oh, yeah, might
have
been something.
If he was, but, I mean, Russell is a little smaller, but Russell Wilson kind of in there.
Russell's good. He has like an it factor. I mean, but yeah, most of those guys don't ever come out of the college game and come into the NFL and do what Josh is doing. Usually it fizzles out and it doesn't translate. And he keeps getting better.
And here's actually an element that me and Gabe were in Florida this weekend. We had a long conversation about if, in regards to quarterbacks who have like that elite clutch play, like in the crucial moment, DJ's eating a piece of pizza right now. Just let everyone know. Everyone know, but
one bite, everyone knows the rules.
Yep. And do we think that Josh Allen's sample size of those moments is in the last two games, even though they lost, do we think that the sample size is big enough, or we don't think it's big enough yet? Because we can go back to all the games and really look at, you know, it really did, because 2018, like, he wasn't developed enough yet. 2019, they had a fairly easy schedule. They had comebacks when it gets the Bengals. They almost beat the Patriots. But then last year, they played the Dolphins. In week two, and then he was able to at least put that game into the water, and then the Cardinals game, which he ended up losing. So, but these last two games, he really showed that he can be that it factor. So I just wanted to maybe talk about if he's going to be able, if he really become the guy that we can trust for that.
Yeah, I mean, with a lot of games that he's played, like earlier on, it was, well, there's not a team around him, and then later on, like last year, they were blowing teams out of the water, so there were no really clutch moments involved. So I don't think there's a large enough sample size of close games against good teams that you can base that off of, apart from these past two games. I know they lost them, so people who don't know shit, like Skip Bayless, are going to say, well, that's on him. He came up short.
Did he, though?
Like, no.
Doing things that no other quarterbacks in the league can do.
People with common sense and who aren't hacks know this.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's been enough close games against good teams where you could say, oh, he's clutch or he's not. But I think when the time comes, he will be.
Yeah.
But I will concede that he hasn't yet, because I don't think there's met enough chances for that yet.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I don't know. It sucks that we constantly, like,
you got to add something, DJ. Come on. What are you doing?
It's so annoying that we have to constantly, like, aren't you getting sick? Like, we've been doing this for like the last 2 years now. Right. That we keep, are you getting tired of defending Josh Allen? Like, we shouldn't have to defend. I'm getting tired of defending.
It's so weird that we feel an obligation every week to be like, oh, by the way, do you guys think he's the franchise quarterback? Like, the other teams don't do this.
All I'm saying is,
we don't know how to handle success.
I just wanted to start a conversation. I'm sorry, guys.
No, not you. Not you. I'm just saying the fact that we have to address this topic of, I mean, the clutch conversation, that's a good one to have down the line, absolutely. But the fact that, like, every week it's like, oh, yeah, he could be our quarterback of the future. Well, what do you mean he could?
No, he fucking is. No, I don't want
to hear on to the other positions that are less interesting and more boring because you don't know shit about football, and start addressing those.
Yeah, I think that we're going to keep hearing about his $258 million and all this shit. After every game, he's going to have to justify the $258 million. I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of it already. And he's not even making that yet. Like, he's not even making $258 million yet.
Now, in just case you were all wondering, he is our Buffalo's Best Blitzer of the Week. Shout out to Buffalo's Best Bar and Grill for always giving us a great place to record.
And bomb-ass pizza. Holy fuck.
All right. So,
let's look at this AFC.
Wait, we're not done.
We're not done?
No, we gotta talk. I mean, we could talk about running backs. Like, when are we gonna get Antonio Williams a chance? You know, like,
I mean, the fact that we have to,
I don't know, there's other
turn to that. I mean,
is there anything we should be worried about? I mean, let's talk about how the last 2 weeks, I think that the defense has looked really well, and you haven't been like, oh fuck, I wish Trey White was playing.
The first half of the Tampa game, maybe.
Yeah, but it's been, like, surprisingly, it's been okay. I mean, I've been watching, and I'm like,
oh, I mean, well, you, like, can't really count the first game without him, because...
Yeah, true. Yeah. But, like, still, like, everyone, I think, kind of over-panicked. You know, I'm not downplaying Trey White's injury at all. It's a big injury. He's a big part of the defense and what we do defensively. But I've been surprised with Dane Jackson's play and Levi's play. Like, I haven't really been like, well, man, if Trey was in there, they would play would have been made. Yeah, they've been okay.
Here's the thing. People are going to remember what Mike Evans did because he had, like, if I'm not, you guys can correct me, but, like, two or three spectacular plays. But what they're really going to miss from Trey White was Chris Godwin has had 10 receptions and 105 yards.
Right.
So he, like, being in that middle presence, that's absolutely what they missed because he really, because they put Trey everywhere. So the fact that they had the two primarily 100-yard receivers, that's really, I know that it was against, it really was unfortunate that their first game really without Trey White was against, like, the best passing offense in the NFL. Like, that sucks. But, and I don't know if there's going to be a team down the line that can really expose that besides maybe the Chiefs, depending on if they're, if they are within that
wild. You mean in the playoffs?
Yeah, in the playoffs, yeah. But I really don't know any other team that it can do that, but I think that game really showed, like, without Trey White, that there are certain holes.
Well, I could see, okay, like you said, the Chiefs. And now some of these teams might be wild cards as well, so they might not have to face them. But I could see teams like the Chargers and Bengals doing so as well.
I'm talking about in regards to if, like, the Chargers, Bengals, and Bills are, we're not going to say anything yet, but, like, the wild cards.
Yeah, I mean, well, so the AFC North is still completely up for grabs, so I mean, that the seeding's going to change a lot these next few weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of those teams will be wild cards as well, so they might not match up with the Bills. The Bills will be looking at either New England, Kansas City.
Maybe the Ravens?
Tennessee. And yeah, it depends who wins the North. It's just too close right now.
Yeah. Are you guys worried at all about a lack of running game?
Yes.
Yes.
At some point, does it, like... Like, I mean, we did it last year with hardly any running game. Is it,
if you're going to go on the road in other team stadiums when they're loud, when you're on offense, and if it's outdoors, it's going to be cold. Defense and run game wins playoff matchups, especially road winter playoff matchups. That's just the formula for how it's been.
So can Josh Allen keep doing it? Or does someone have to
step up? Here's what
they could try, but I really don't think they're capable.
You can correct me if I'm wrong, but when the regular season ends and the playoffs come around, I wouldn't be upset if the Bills were just a wild card, especially if they play on the road against, let's say,
Tennessee. I don't know.
Tennessee.
New England.
I would say Tennessee because it would be a bit warmer, but I feel like with how the team is built, like, they're not an outside team.
It's crazy to say the Bills aren't an outdoor team.
Yeah, look, and look, hey, they went to Tampa, and that offense was pretty freaking good. It may have been half prevent, but it shows that, like, hey, if you put this team into a control, whether they can do whatever the fuck they want to you. There's a good chance that the Bills don't win the division this year because, like, they have to win out. That's how it comes. Like, they have to go into New England and win for them to even have a chance. And I'm not saying that can happen, but if they go into the wild card, I'm not saying they're going to go on a run, but that would actually be substantial for what the Bills want to do in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, again, my concern is when you go on the road in the playoffs, if you have lack of offensive line and run game, stadiums are loud, they ruin passing communications, you have to control the clock, you have to control the tempo, you have to take another team, another crowd out of it with demoralizing runs, gaining first downs, again, tempo, and that's just not the offense that they are. So if they get behind early in a playoff game and another team's controlling time of possession, that's just what it is, and that's been the downfall of this team all year.
And I saw some people tweet out where, like, Noah, don't even make the playoffs. Just don't do that. Yeah, it's like, I know.
That's the stupidest fucking shit ever.
I didn't even want to bring it up, but I had to bring it up.
Those guys are fucking idiots.
Do you want them to lose? Like, what the hell are you talking about?
You'd rather
about?
Have no chance than a small percent chance.
It's fucking crazy. I can't even deal with people like that. Like, I don't even know how to function with that mindset. You don't want to make the playoffs because that's like the most asinine thing I've ever, like, it's just so stupid.
Especially in this AFC that's completely, like, all over the place.
Yeah, it's definitely Frank from Cheek to Log with that fucking shit. It's like,
I mean, I agree with the momentum, but it's like, you know, not being able to run. But once the playoffs come, then all you have to do is get hot, and that's it.
I think
with the schedule they have, the Bills could actually get hot.
They're going to get hot. I mean, they're good. they can still lose. I mean, they can still lose to New England, and they won't win the division, still get in.
10 wins is the magic number. You get to 10 wins, and then that's...
10 wins, that's funny. I had a guy tell me today that Trubisky would get this team 10 wins. Yeah. I'm not naming names, but man, I'm the biggest Trubisky supporter out there, and I want to see him in gadgets and stuff, but you're telling me he could get 10 wins? Not a chance. Three.
All right. That's it.
See you guys. Speaking of stuff being not so serious, I definitely want to thank everyone that came out to Brickyard Brewing out in Lewiston a few weeks back to support us, and Stevie and his charity, Junior North Stars, out in California. Big thanks to Eric, Johnny, and Ken out at Brickyard. Great people to work with so far. Looking forward to doing more things with them. You know, shout out to Josh at Buff on a Whack. You know, coming out, set up a table, slinging some merch. Stevie, obviously, for being awesome. Aaron Williams for showing up and hanging out with the kids and taking photos with everybody. Be on the lookout for more. There might be some stuff in the works.
That was only just the beginning.
Yeah,
foreshadowing.
That was pretty much the only beginning. Also, make sure you get to consumers. Get out to Lewiston and go check out Brickyard Barbecue. Place is amazing.
I love it.
Great food.
That was one of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah, it was a great atmosphere, great place. Beer's phenomenal. So get out there and continue thanks to Brickyard for their support of three idiots that don't know shit about football, apparently.
all because we were bored during COVID.
This portion of the episode is sponsored by Premier Cigars, the Premier Cigar Lounge in Buffalo, New York. 1327 Jefferson Avenue. Put some smoke in the air.
All right, guys. So we think that the division is a little bit out of reach. Colts versus Patriots. In my opinion, I think that the Colts are just going to find a way just to screw it up. I feel like when they play actual good opponents, their win against the Bills was their only real win this year. All the rest of it was against the shitty Jags, the Texans.
But it's a real Bills team that everyone at that point thought was a big time Super Bowl contender.
They took the Bucks to overtime, I think, right?
No.
Or was it the end? Well, I mean, it was close.
It was close.
It was close. Yeah. But it wasn't.
It was not overtime. That's right.
And that was in Tampa.
That was in Indy.
Oh, it was in Indy.
It was.
Okay.
But I think the Patriots keep rolling and win that game.
Patriots can't keep fucking winning. They're not this good.
Well,
I don't care what anyone says. Really,
the Colts live or die by Jonathan Taylor. I think we could all agree on that.
Yeah. But Carson Wentz has been playing well.
He is, I think if you're the Patriots, you'd rather have Carson Wentz beat you than Jonathan Taylor.
And Carson Wentz, I think, can.
Okay, mobile.
Right? I mean, Carson Wentz isn't a bottom-tier guy.
No. I'm not knacking the Colts defense at all. I think they could definitely stop the run more than
they're going to get to Mac Jones, too. I mean, Buckner and Leonard, they're going to get to Mac Jones.
You
guys are very positive this is a New England victory, but I'm not sure.
I don't know because the Colts are very bipolar.
They
really are.
They're either destroying really bad teams or they're just screwing it. Like, look, they blew it against the Ravens. They had a huge lead, blew it there. Then they had a lead against the Bucs, and they blew that too. So it's just they really need a certain type of weather to really win those type of games.
Well, it's in Indy. It's in a dome.
That's kind of bad. I would need it to be rainy.
This is a matchup where both teams like to run the ball and play good defense. So it'll be interesting to see how it shapes out. But I'm just saying, if New England wins, division's probably out of the reach.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
I can agree on that.
Because then all New England has left is if they beat the Colts, then the Bills game almost becomes irrelevant because they close out the season with Miami and Jacksonville.
Miami could win that.
So you're very confident that New England beat the Patriots, but you're shaky on if they could beat the Dolphins.
Division. We've talked about division.
No.
But
and I don't think New England's ready to sweep the Bills. You know, like I don't think they're that team yet. I think they lose it.
When you look at the Patriots Bills matchup, you're like, that's what's the problem with Bills, like NFL fans in general. They look at one game and they think, oh, that's the NFL. This is it.
No, not
forever,
this year.
Forever. No, that was one game.
This year's been week to week.
Yeah.
Every game in every division and every conference, like it's been week. No one knows what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, exactly. So everyone, if you focus on one game and then you try and like. compare that game to the rest of the NFL, you're just gonna have a bad time. You're not worth it. You're gonna look stupid. No, like that was a loss. It was, and now the Bills, when that game does come up, the Bills can bounce back and change the narrative.
Thankfully for the Bills this week, a lot of AFC playoff teams play other playoff teams. You got the Chiefs playing the Chargers. You have the Titans playing the Steelers, who aren't in it, but you know they're competing for it. You have New England playing Indy, obviously. Baltimore plays Green Bay, so Bills probably rooting for Green Bay there. And I think, who else? Cincinnati plays Denver.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns, who just got hit by COVID, play the Raiders. So a lot of teams that are either in the playoffs or really close to it are going to be battling it out this week while the Bills play an NFC opponent that's underwhelming.
Yeah.
So that's something to look forward to for this week, I think.
Yeah, I think if the Bills win, handle business, we're going to be sitting pretty come Monday morning, or Monday, I should say Tuesday morning. I think this weekend could be in our favor.
Yeah, not much to say about that matchup. They're spiraling out of control. So
Carolina, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, the Panthers. Yeah,
no, I mean, if you're going to go on a run, then we shouldn't have to talk about this matchup. If you're going to go on a run that in the playoffs, this isn't anything worth talking about.
Yeah, the next thing we should be talking about is definitely going to be the New England one. That's not everything else. It's just you should handle business.
Right. It's going to be very important to see how New England plays the Colts. If they lose, then you smell blood.
Yeah. Yeah, then that game in Foxborough becomes gigantic.
Well, I wonder if New England drops the next two.
We can win the division.
The Bills would have the division tiebreaker.
Yeah, because of the Miami loss. They already lost to Miami. Yep.
If they both finish 11-6,
they'll have a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So essentially, if New England wins one of the next two, they win the division, though, probably.
Yes.
Well, they need to lose too. So they need to.
If Buffalo wins out, yeah. I mean, if Buffalo wins out, they got to obviously beat New England. And if that happens, then we win the division, pretty much. So
if they finish with the same record, but the Patriots beat them, did the Patriots win the division then?
Yeah, right. They would have the tiebreaker.
If they sweep them and have the same record, they gotta be.
Yeah.
Here's one thing I do want to bring up. I know I've been talking shit on the Dolphins all year, but they were 1-7.
They were.
And now they're 6-7, only one game behind the Bills. That's just fucking crazy to me. Just absolutely crazy. And can you make the case that they could maybe play spoiler? We can make the game.
No. No.
I'm just not going to depend on it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying depend on it either, but like, look what they have left. They have the Jets. Okay, they're on a bye week this week. Yeah, they play the Jets, the Saints, the Titans, and the Patriots. That's at least two winning games, and then they could play spoiler for the Titans.
No.
So
I think they're 1-3. I don't even know if they could beat the Saints.
And honestly, I don't want those scenarios. I'm done with scenarios. I don't need this for that to happen. Win all the games. And wherever the chips fall, they fall. If you win the games, you're going to get somewhere. You're either going to win the division or you're going to be the 6th or 7th.
You can't start looking at other teams because then it's going to throw you all out of whack.
Yeah.
All you can do is win your own games.
Win your own games and let everything else fall into place, how it's going to fall. No matter, you win out, you're either going to win the division and be the 2. Right? They can still be the 2? Be the 2 or 3?
I don't know about that.
Would it be the 3? Is 3 the highest they can get now?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean.
So you win out, you're the 3 seed. You lose one more, you scrape your way into the playoffs, you're the 7th seed or 6th seed.
It's really going to be interesting because I'm looking at the Chiefs' schedule now. They play the Chargers on Thursday night.
Right.
And
division game.
So if the Chargers win, that would actually be huge because if the Bills do make a run, then they can at least try and get to that, to possibly that 3 seed.
I don't know. I think you almost rather have the Chiefs win at this point, because if the Chargers win, you're neither ahead of either the Chargers or the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. If the Chargers lose, you could at least tie them this week. But if the Chargers win, you're playing catch-up against both teams now.
Yeah, that was only in the situation where, like, the Bills find a way to win the division. But in that case, yeah, but.
Oh, my philosophy is win out, figure it out.
Yeah?
It's the easiest way. It's a stress-free way to do it. If Bills fans are going to sit here and try to be like, well, we can get do this if Cincinnati ties or does this. And like, I just hate those scenarios.
I don't like doing it either.
Like, just handle business like you should be. You were projected by most media outlets to either be in the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl. So you should be able to win four games in a row and fucking get in and
DJ,
figure it out.
I completely agree with everything you said.
I know.
100%.
I'm always the smartest man on the planet.
But, go number one, go fuck yourself. Number two, the playoff simulator, the ESPN playoff simulator is fun, and I like playing with
it. Yeah, I know. It's a time killer.
So let me live my life.
You can have your fun, but I'm being realistic.
Let me live my life. Yeah, I mean, that's a that's a way to look at it. Like, I'm to be honest with you, a cockroach on Orchard Park could tell you that. So you're not saying anything too too real, but the point is that it's going to be interesting to see how the dominoes fall. I think everyone can agree with that because, like, this is like the stretch of football where it just gets super stressful, and it's just like, and then seeing how the playoff seeds come down, it's honestly a great time.
I'm retiring.
This is
honestly, I can't do this anymore.
No, this is honestly my favorite part of the year.
I'm not stressed.
Well,
I'm as cool as a cucumber.
I mean, you have two kids, so you know how to alleviate your stress more. Like, you know what to prioritize. Me and Gabe, on the other hand, we don't even know what the hell to prioritize. Like we literally had a full conversation about if all this stuff, like all these different things happen. It's just,
and we do it every week.
Every week.
It's fun to think about.
It's fun to think about, but it's our lifespan has at least decreased by, like, we might die next year.
Jeez.
Nothing like being morbid. Well, on that note, predictions for Carolina? Because we're not going to preview the game.
If you're going to go on a run, this is an easy. This should be a slam dunk, 27-10.
28.
If you say 11, I swear to God.
11.5. We're gambling now. I don't know. 28-7.
Uh, 31-17.
You really think Carolina gets that many points?
I think so.
Yeah, their offense is dead.
Yeah, they got a good. Don't they got a good good defense? Right, second best defense in the league.
Their offense is completely putrid. Their offensive line is bad.
I don't know. We can't stop a running back. So can we stop Chuba Hubbard for her to him not to rip off a 40-yard run?
That's fair.
That's fair. Stop the run, and then I don't believe.
I mean, they can.
They can.
I mean, all I'm gonna say is,
I mean, even they put Cam Newton in a goal line situation, you tell me he can't run.
I know they're not the same team, but the Packers on Sunday night put together the worst special teams performance in history. Right? They botched punts. They allowed the first punt return of the season. They still blew out that team by 15 points. If the Bills only suck at where they only allow a lot of running, I think they're going to be okay. All
right.
You know what I'm trying to say?
We shall see.
But I think we saw.
I mean, if they find a way to lose this one, then the season's done. But
oh no, I feel like they're going to be absolutely. They're going to be pissed. It's going to be.
Oh yeah, sure.
They're going to be just. It's just going to be a blowout completely.
I would assume so too.
All right. Anything else, boys?
Bring back Jack Eichel.
Yeah, interesting stat. I'm going to shout out Meerkat for this one. So the Bills were, 5-2 before they traded Jack? Since the Sabres traded Jack Eichel, the Bills are 2-4. So we can blame the Sabres for this. It always is the Sabres' fault. It's absolutely incredible. That's actually, Meerkat, that's correct, you're the smartest man alive.
I try telling people not to have hope, and no one ever listens to me.
So if I'm Buffalo, if I'm Kevin Adams, I'm figuring out how the fuck to get Jack Eichel back. We need a run here.
Hey, if the Raiders can try and trade back for Khalil Mack, then we can definitely try and trade back for freaking Jack Eichel.
How fucking enough do you have to be to trade Khalil Mack? I'm like, yeah, we fucked up. We fucked up.
I mean,
the Raiders have more problems than edge rush.
Do your thing, do your spiel.
Yes, so if you haven't already, please follow and subscribe to us, 71 Blitz, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and please follow Trainwreck Sports as well.
And remember to follow and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the back of your milk carton, on the side of Electric Avenue, on the side of Bill's Drive. Anywhere you can listen to get your Premier Bills content.
You forgot the white Bronco?
Yeah, you forgot the white Bronco.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
I wanted to switch it up a bit.
No, you never take out the white Bronco.
Never. Ever.
Juice is always loose.
Okay. Juice is always loose here, buddy.
Okay, fine. I'll redo that. All right.
Nope.
There's no reduce.
Leave this in. Leave this part in.
I wanted to switch it up a bit. I thought people were getting... Because, like, I wanted to bring up, like, go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a nice review. Tell us that we suck. Tell us that we're mediocre. Tell us stuff to talk about. Honestly,
we don't suck.
I just want people to talk.
I want people to lie to people. It's bad info. We don't suck.
Well, I'm saying I want people... We are an honest Bills podcast, correct? We want the people to be... I'm trying to say, hey, be honest. Tell us what you feel. Right. And then we'll work with what you do best.
Okay.
And then we'll listen to you in the back of a white Bronco.
With OJ.
Yeah.
Driving.
Also, one last thing. This train never stops.
That's it. I love it. All right. And on that note, see you guys next week.
See you next week. On to New England, baby.
See you, Tailbreakers.